This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Let's talk about memorials. Statues of Confederate leaders have been in the spotlight on and off. Some see them as a painful reminder of slavery and demand they come down. Others argue that removing them erases historical legacies and hold that reminders of the past are necessary, even when they're difficult. Revelations about iconic civil rights leader Cesar Chavez brought them back into the forefront this week. So let's kick things off with KCBS catching us up on the news about Chavez that has some people saying his memorials need to disappear.
We are re-examining the legacy of Cesar Chavez following allegations of sexual abuse against the late civil rights icon. Among the victims is Dolores Huerta, who co-founded the United Farm Workers along with Chavez. And she kept the truth silent for more than 60 years, largely to avoid harming the labor movement. For a closer look at this, Lori Flores, she is associate professor of history at Columbia University. These are some pretty shocking allegations.
They are. They are deeply devastating to average Americans who know of and remember Chavez and to the scholarly community as well.
What was your reaction when you read this report, when you heard the allegations?
Well, having done research on the United Farm Workers and Chavez for many years now in both books that I've written, these revelations, you know, continue to force us to probe more into his legacy, his biography, his contributions to labor history. There, you know, like any other charismatic figurehead of a mass movement, there's always room to critique problematic elements of a person and problematic, you know, behaviors that person engaged in. So scholars had already examined certain problematic actions that Chavez was responsible for. But these revelations revealed a whole new set of concerns and traumas and devastating realities that even those of us who have been in the archives, who've talked to people involved in the union, who really delve into this history, it surprised many, many of us a couple of days ago.
Yeah. I mean, Dolores Huerta finally revealed that, in her words, she was raped by Cesar Chavez. She had 2 children from those interactions. And she was keeping that a secret for 6 decades. The question I want to ask is, what does this tell us about the burdens placed on women inside movements such as this, social justice movements?
The word burden is right, and it's very appropriate to use here. I think Dolores Huerta always put the work first and foremost, not only in the way that she organized her life and the way that she lived it when she was involved and continues to be involved in the farm worker rights movement, but in the way that she motivated others to reorganize their lives around putting families, you know, on the front lines to boycott, to strike, to organize, to picket, to travel across the country and even, you know, internationally in order to volunteer and work for the UFW. So I think the pain and the frustration and the trauma that she's had to carry around for 60 years and only felt with these bombshell reports that she could say something is a testament to how precarious she thought the farm worker rights movement was in the United States, that, you know, the house of cards would fall and, you know, rocks would crumble if she were to dare to say these things about a much revered leader of the movement.
I think this might be a good time to add some context for all of this, the difficulty in revealing these revelations. Remind us what Cesar Chavez did. What did he stand for before all of this came out?
Well, he started as a community organizer at a young age. That's actually how he met Dolores Huerta originally. They both organized for the Community Service Organization, otherwise known as CSO. And it was an amazing organization in California that registered voters, that really empowered Mexican-American communities to speak out on all sorts of issues affecting them. But then that morphed into a more labor rights focused movement in the fields amongst farm workers. So Chavez Huerta and other leaders of the UFW succeeded in gaining valuable contracts for farm workers, mostly in California, but in other places like Texas as well, and was able to get such benefits as sick days, you know, protection from heat, water provisions, higher pay, of course, you know, things that many of us might take for granted as stable and given within a certain jobs packages. But for farm workers, the amount of neglect has been so deep in U.S. history that even those basic protections were things that they had to fight for throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond.
We're getting some really great questions. Lester, thank you for this. He asks, how does this new information on Cesar Chavez impact the legacy of other names in the farm worker labor movement, like Dolores Huerta, Larry Itliong, and Philip Veracruz? Will it raise their profiles?
Well, for me, I think we always need to be paying more attention to the, you know, less known or less uplifted names and heroes and brave people, including all the ordinary people who powered the movement. So yes, this might result in, you know, Filipino leadership becoming more visible as part of reinforces Huerta's, you know, vitality and importance to the movement and her leadership and the burdens that she and other women organizers and volunteers in the union experienced and suffered. So we might see an elevation of narratives and of figures that deserve that. Unfortunately, it's had to come, you know, at the cost of them keeping quiet about past encounters and experiences that really harmed them in previous decades.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.
There's a lot of questions about what to do about monuments, parks, streets, etc., named after Cesar Chavez. Is one of the options to switch the name to Dolores Huerta, who was worked alongside Chavez in the labor movement?
I'd like to personally find a solution that, you know, doesn't trade one figurehead for the other, although Huerta certainly deserves her flowers, if you want to put it that way. But what I have focused on in my work is so much about all the people, including women, children, migrants, undocumented migrants, ordinary working class folk that really took the chance to power the farm worker movement. They are the only reason that Chavez and Huerta and Itliong and others succeeded in their goals. So I'd like to find a way to acknowledge farm workers as a whole, and how we can do that in terms of naming and commemorating will be interesting conversations, but I think we need to have them and not just switch one name for the other and think that the problem is solved. I think it's a more systemic problem of recognition of farm workers as a whole that we still need to deal with as a nation.
Why is this coming out now? Why weren't these questions asked earlier?
Well, one survivor, as you saw reported in the Times and elsewhere, did try to say something in a Facebook post years ago and was shot down by people who did not want to smear Chavez's name or ruin the legacy and the reputation and the successes of the movement. I think, you know, those people who silence victims are underestimating our ability to be able to hold the dark with the light, right? The moments of victory with the moments of brutal and awful reality. And I think both things can be true, that Chavez and the movement made a huge difference in the lives of many people, and yet Chavez totally abused his power and position of authority and really harmed people who wanted to believe in him and to trust him. So I think that we need to hold both of those things together in the way that we move forward here. And I think it took so long for survivors and for Huerta to come forward because, again, the farm worker rights movement is on unsteady ground, especially in this political climate. It feels almost like the worst time to try to critique Latino civil rights and civil rights leaders, especially when so many efforts are being threatened and so many people feel scared and villainized by this government and administration right now. So all of that combined, I think, is what led to a very long delay in being able to speak their truth, but also for us to hear their truth.
Mm-hmm. I read in the New York Times newsletter that one of the other reasons that this wasn't reported at the time was because there was concern that police wouldn't believe, or at least they would not respond or investigate to these allegations, because there was a lot of animosity between law enforcement and the farm worker movement. Is that correct?
There certainly was a lot of tension, historical and more contemporary, between police and labor activists, and specifically UFW activists. And in California history, there are many moments in which violence rocked relationships between local authorities who were supposed to protect communities and the UFW and its volunteers and members, who often came to incredible, you know, blows with police, whether that was actual physical contact, tear gas, running over with vehicles, collusion with grower employers and teamsters who were trying to literally shove them and push them out of the fields, and in some cases kill them in doing so. There are a history of fatalities in the UFW's history. So yes, I can understand that violence between the police and the union as definitely part of the story of why survivors would not believe that the police would do something for them. And this also speaks to the way in which police forces across the United States don't listen to women. And survivors often feel like their concerns are trivialized, dismissed, prolonged, and thought to not be as severe as they really are.
Why do you think these revelations didn't come out, I guess, a little bit earlier during the Me Too movement?
It's a very interesting question. I wonder the same thing. Again, it might have been the position of the movement at large that, you know, around the Me Too movement, it certainly wasn't as powerful. It wasn't at its zenith in the way that it was when Chavez was at the helm, you know, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But I do remember that farm worker women during the Me Too movement were speaking out against sexual harassment in the fields as they were working. they didn't take it so far as to, you know, tackle the problem of the big figurehead, you know, of the United Farm Workers. But they were saying in our everyday lives, in the 21st century, we are still at the, you know, mercy and suffering at the hands of our foremen, of our supervisors, of our coworkers, and we are still not safe doing this work of feeding the nation on a daily basis. Hmm.
We have time for one more question, and I guess I'd just like you to elaborate on what you were alluding to earlier, holding the dark with the light, separating the person from the work. How do you think that Americans should be feeling in this moment when we are thinking about the legacy of Cesar Chavez and these revelations about sexual abuse?
We need to remember the farm worker movement always was, and it still remains, much more than just him, much more than just Chavez. Long before him and long after, the movement was led by ordinary people, including women, including children, including migrants who were left out of the scenario. So I really feel that we as a nation have a responsibility to try harder to fight and do right by these victims. And the way we can do that in a systemic fashion that actually can make a difference for the whole of, you know, the farm worker demographic in the U.S. is to bring up constantly their neglect in federal protective labor legislation. Farm workers have been neglected ever since the New Deal era, where they were left out of the New Deal, along with domestic workers. They urgently deserve federal protections. We have not given a minimum wage to farm work for decades, ever. We still do not have one. So I think the way that we can repair is by calling for, as a nation, for farm workers to finally be protected under a national umbrella of labor protection.
So what about the memorials? Here's more from KCBS.
Public officials and community leaders are re-examining Cesar Chavez's legacy and the many buildings and places dedicated in his honor. For more, we're joined live by KCBS insider Phil Matier. Cesar Chavez was considered basically a hero for decades. What happens now?
What happens now is, like you said, we had a complete reevaluation of it, and likely we're going to see his name come down off the more than 50 schools, civic centers, student unions, and the UC campuses, and various other programs across the state. He was not only a saint in terms of California history, where he was deified following his passage in 1993, he was an icon and patron saint of the California Democratic Party, which controls large swaths of California and was responsible for a lot of the namings. Now, while there are, you know, moves to change the names to various plazas as well as streets, is, you know, his name is just everywhere. I've never seen something happening this quick involving so many different names and places. We've had people in the past who've been decided that their histories weren't compatible with today's values, and like Christopher Columbus, we removed his statue in San Francisco's North Beach. Fallon's statue down in San Jose was removed, but we've never had this number and it done so incredibly quickly. We're talking within hours of the revelations coming out the New York Times, people were calling for the names to come down.
I think probably because those allegations were so egregious. And again, the Times has reported on this, or been researching this for years before this bombshell report yesterday. I guess the question a lot of people are asking is it possible to hold both things, to recognize the legacy of what Cesar Chavez did and stood for in the farm worker labor movement in California, while at the same time understanding that he was a deeply flawed individual, if these allegations are true?
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a shift about that, as we're going to see renaming might be Farm Workers Boulevard or Farm Worker Plaza or United Farm Worker Plaza or such. But, you know, we have to take also we have to be honest with ourselves. Even before his any of these revelations came out, in the final years of Cesar Chavez's overseer of the United Farm Workers, it was rife with splits. People were saying that he was autocratic, he was purging the union, that he was had become increasingly sort of messianic and was out of touch. But that was overlooked, as you said, for the gains that were made. Also, the reality is that now the farm workers represent a very small portion of California agricultural workers. They have not been a big success ongoing, but they are more of the ideal. And I was talking to one former farm worker, union worker, who said that, you know, all of this was might also, you know, lead to the point of this is what happens when we deify somebody. Rather than deifying the person, possibly we should be, you know, just really embracing the ideas. And that's one of the reasons why the 4th of July survives. It's not named after any of the founding fathers because they were all flawed. You know, let's not put that out there. Just hide from that. But that it's the ideals to which they stood for and we as a country still stand for. What also makes this interesting is that there is a Cesar Chavez state holiday coming up on March 31st, and we're going to have to see what the governor decides to do. So far, he said he's been opening to changing the name of it. He's not going to do away with the holiday, but we'll wait to see what happens on that.
Can, real quick, Phil, can the governor change the name of the holiday with by simply signing a document?
That remains to be seen. This has to be explored. That's a good question. I know he's not going to give up the holidays, so we'll have to see how it goes. A lot of these are going to take votes and processes by the various school boards and by the federal government, by the state commissions that oversee. It's not like there's one wave of the pen that can change everything. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take money. And it's going to be a time for reflection about the frailties of people and the aspirations we hold. What we have here is a situation like we've never seen before in politics or in the culture. You have basically somebody that was been made a saint in the state of California, Cesar Chavez, for his Gandhi-like work with the United Farm Workers. And although there have been questions about his autocratic nature in his later years and some of the cult-like things that he was putting forth in the organization before he passed on, they had largely just sort of been, well, they've been talked about, but this was a really big one. The idea of forcing women into sex and even young girls, underage girls, two of them who were mentioned in the New York Times story. So this Chavez family is apologizing for it. The farm workers are expressing shock. So there's not a lot of support for keeping things the way they are. So I would suspect that initially we're going to see some name changes, but a lot of them could take a while.
It's so interesting you brought up Mahatma Gandhi because there's an Arch of Dignity down at San Jose State, and it's such a beautiful arch. And I went to look it up online, and there are actually four people on this. It's called Arch of Dignity, Equality, and Justice. But it's often called the Cesar Chavez Arch. But it's Dolores Huerta, Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez, and Robert Kennedy. And online it says, this description of the arch is currently being revised. Please check back for updates. March 2026.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that might be updated is there is already talk in San Jose of renaming Cesar Chavez Plaza, which is adjacent to City Hall and probably close to the Arc. Sacramento may also be renaming its park as well, Cesar Chavez, which is next to City Hall. So those are the ones that you could do. What you'll do is you have hearings, and I don't think anybody's going to necessarily object at this point. In San Francisco, you have Cesar Chavez Boulevard. But years ago, it was Army Street. And Then it was politically changed to Cesar Chavez as a moment of honoring and also as a boost to the Latino population. It usually days, whether it's Columbus Day or whether it's Cesar Chavez Days, is named after a person, but that it also reflects either a population emerging or ideas emerging. And so now they're going to have to sit and decide when are they going to rename that. And the city's going to have to pay for those signs like they did the last time or wait until they wear out. Another issue that's going to have to be dealt with somewhere is that, you know, Cesar Chavez is in the California school history books. The United Farm Workers Movement is in the state history books. How are you going to deal with these allegations there? That's going to take more time. A lot of this points out what I was talking with one person I know who worked closely with Cesar Chavez for years. And he said that, you know, this points out some of the problems when you deify someone, because people are human. And most great people, men or women, are flawed. They have flaws. Some of them traumatic, some of them are a product of the times, and some are complete off the charts like this one. And he said, and it was very interesting, he said, you know, that's why we should celebrate the ideas more than the person. Although we like to make the person a personification of the ideas, perhaps we should lay off that, whether it be a saint or whether it be Gandhi or whatever, and instead focus on the ideas. And it was interesting because I was thinking about that. And I said, yes, the classic one is the 4th of July. On the 4th of July, we don't sit there and celebrate the founding fathers because they were all flawed. But it survives because the ideals that they aspired to, even though they didn't reach them, are still the ideals that we want. So we should be celebrating the ideals possibly more than the people, and you wouldn't have situations like this.
Yeah, that's so true. But also the schools that you brought up, I just wanted to run down. In the Bay Area, you've got a Cesar Chavez school in Santa Cruz, Hayward, mm-hmm. San Francisco, San Jose, East Palo Alto, and Union City.
And that's before we get into the parks, the streets, the plazas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
each school district.
And so each one of those jurisdictions is going to have to figure out what they're going to do about it and what new name they're going to put in. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be related in some ways to the Latino community, but we'll see. Like I said, this is something we've never seen before.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit goodranchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. Goodranchers.com. American meat delivered.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.